Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome aboard, everybody! First things first, on an exciting Wednesday morning, a career night for KD. What did Durant's historic night say about Giannis? Switched it up on you there. Meanwhile, the Chicago Bears say there's no scenario where Justin Fields starts week one. What? Is this a huge mistake? And finally, Aaron Rodgers fashion news. Wearing a shirt with a hidden message, not that hidden, that says I'm offended. And with that, I'm going to welcome you into quite possibly the greatest show we've ever done. Maybe on not just this network, and not just this program, in all programs in the history of the universe. That's how excited we are. I'm Kevin Wilds, Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall. Brandon, you've got your own t-shirt line. Are you thinking about going the Aaron Rodgers route?
No. Why would I do that? Sure. We have something that's hot right now. And it's going up in prices. We got little Brooklyn Nets jerseys. We got KD. We got Harden. Everything is for sale.
You don't have those licenses.
Everything is for sale.
Illegal.
Oh, we're going to start things off in Brooklyn because KD had a performance for the ages. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, triple-double. A total masterpiece. Durant told Steve Nash to leave him on the floor. The first half after Milwaukee jumped out to an early lead, and that strategy paid off handsomely. Nets came back from down 16 at half to win game five. Here was the star of the show after the game.
I didn't even think about nothing but just each possession. You know, I was just trying to win each possession, and I didn't think about how many points I had or shot attempts, like, you know, or rebounds, assists. It was more so like, just let me do what I need to do each possession. And that's the approach I always take, and I was able to rack up some points. I did play every minute, so, you know, that helped with my point total. But for the most part, I just try to stay engaged on the defensive side of the ball all game.
He's the best. He's the best player in the world right now, and we gotta beat him as a team. We gotta guard him as a team. We gotta make him make tough shots like tonight. And we just gotta keep doing our job, and hopefully he's gonna miss.
Well, keep hoping. Didn't happen. Brandon, what was your reaction to Kevin Durant's historic 49-point Game 5 performance?
Well, first, everybody thought we were going to be in all black today, mourning, celebrating the wonderful time we had throughout the regular season with the Nets, and it was all over, but we're still in black and white right now. I'm telling you right now, I was nervous last night. It wasn't pretty, Nick. Wilds, I mean, they were cold. You got Joe Harris, who couldn't hit the side of the backboard. KD even started off cold. I was nervous. They went down, 15 points at times and at half, big deficit. And then all the second half came out, man, and they lit it up. They did a phenomenal job. Look, KD did exactly what he was supposed to do. Yesterday, a lot of us was talking about how he at least has to drop 40, 45 points. Look, I was a little conservative. I thought he needed to drop 50, but I didn't want to go all the way out there on a limb. So I was like, yo, 45 is what we need from KD. And he came through when his team needed him in the biggest moment. Having James Harden out there, I felt like was a sigh of relief for KD to go out there, man, and just fight through. And like he said, take it one possession at a time. Because you can see, like, most players in those situations in the first quarter, second quarter, when things aren't going your way, you can see them start pouting. You can see them start bickering and arguing. They didn't do that. They took it one possession at a time. And these are the type of moments for KD where when everyone knows you're going to shoot the ball and you still produce, where you go from superstar to Mount Rushmore superstar. And this game can go down depending on how this ends, as the game that KD solidified himself as the best player on the planet, like Giannis said.
Well, you, Brandon, the only thing you said there that I'll disagree with is you said everyone knew he was going to shoot. I don't think Bud knew he was going to shoot. Someone should have told him, hey, they're going to go to KD. But we'll talk more about that in a moment. You guys joke that I'm an amateur NBA historian. There are some benefits to that, though.
The context for last night is quite simple. It's not only the greatest game of Kevin Durant's career by far. The only thing that comes close is game three of the 2018 finals, but this outstrips that by a couple standard deviations. It's one of the greatest playoff games any wing, including Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Larry Bird, the Mount Rushmore of wings in the NBA, at least as of this moment, has played. What Durant did last night was everything. And people might focus on the 49 points, which is the second most he's ever had in a playoff game, or the 17 rebounds, which is the second most he's ever had in a playoff game, or the 10 assists, which is the most he's ever had in a playoff game. I'm going to focus on a different number, 48. For Kevin Durant to play every single second of that basketball game and to be going all out on both ends was one of the most remarkable physical accomplishments I've ever seen in the NBA. This man is a couple years removed from the single worst injury a basketball player can suffer. And all he did last night was shoot flames out his eyeballs when his team needed every single possession. I mentioned Larry Bird and Kobe Bryant. Neither one of those guys ever had a playoff game as good as this one. Larry had a couple unbelievable game sevens. The 87 conference finals against Isaiah and the Pistons probably stands out to most. Durant was better than that last night. Kobe's 50-point overtime performance against Phoenix when they made the playoffs without Shaq after Shaq had left. A lot of people, that's an iconic Kobe performance. Durant was better than that last night. And Wilds, for the entire world to know, the Nets have one way to win. Kevin Durant has one to way. Play a 10 out of 10 game, and he delivered a 12 out of 10. It is what makes you start, and I'm not trying to get us on this path immediately, but it does make you say, all right, Durant versus Bird, let's look at it. Durant versus Kobe, let's start looking at it. Those are going to be real conversations that can be had over the next few years. And this performance, this is what I was saying the other day, he didn't have anything to lose, but he had a ton to gain because he had this in him, and we saw it last night. It was a perfect basketball game. Perfect.
It was amazing. Well said, well said. I want to show you a handful of tweets, Nick, and get your reaction on a take that I think we need to address. Here's LeBron, greatness, appreciate it while you can, people. Kevin Love, greatness from KD, incredible performance in CJ. Wow, KD, this is art, real life poetry in motion. And I want to focus on CJ's thing because I reject the idea that questioning Bud's defense takes anything away from KD because it wasn't art. This is a competition. No one's like, huh, you know what? That canvas really needed to step up and play a better game against the Mona Lisa. That doesn't happen. There was a competition. Everybody knows KD was the only offensive weapon. Bud could not stop him. They didn't throw double teams at him. Giannis didn't go to him. They didn't do anything to stop him. It was just PJ Tucker, a few rotations, but it was KD raining down fire. So, Nick, I guess my question to you is this. Do you question Bud's decision-making moving forward when knowing going into this game that the Nets have one way to beat you? And the Nets came out and executed a very basic game plan, let KD cook, and it worked.
Listen, I know we're going to get to the Bud and Giannis part more in depth later. Yeah, I question every single thing that Mike Budenholzer did. I question Darvin Ham not pulling a Crimson Tide and going mutiny on Coach Budenholzer, but locking him in his in a closet and taking over the game. But I want to say something else about Durant because this is Brandon, and I want your take on this because as an athlete, I think guys got angry. I think athletes sympathized more with Durant than guys in my position when he was getting all the criticism for picking Golden State. And then going to Brooklyn, he has Kyrie, right, and then helping orchestrate the trade for Harden. I think last night helps illustrate why basketball fans, in an odd way, hated those moves. Because you, as a right, fan of sports, you, or a fan of anything, you like to see the overmatched hero try to defeat all odds. You like to see John McClane and Die Hard against 11 different guys. And it was exciting and fun to see Steph this year. Like, overmatched, outgunned, right, right, go do your thing.
It's good too.
LeBron right, is last right, year in Cleveland. And I think last night almost validates, in a weird way, why people were so frustrated with KD previously. Because as fans, right, we want to see this. And he didn't have to do yep, this prior. Right. But we knew he could.
Good take.
And it was really special, Brandon, for him to, when he was hadn't been asked to do this in years, to pull it out on a moment's notice the way he did last night.
Right. I mean, you're preaching there, but when you go back to Golden State, I think guys was frustrated with him because they just beat you. You were up 3-1, so how do you go join the team that just beat you? And then you fast forward to Brooklyn, and I think people supported that move. And they supported him, you know, teaming up with Kyrie, because that was the trend. That's what the NBA is all about now. But you're 100% right. Like, I'm more old school than this era. I want to see this type of defense being played, not only in the playoffs, but all year. I want to see guys playing harder. I want to see guys, you know, earning it and being tougher. And I'm like you. Yeah, I want to see our superstars have to deliver every single night, 100%. But, Wiles, before we go, I want to push back on you as far as Bud. I think that's unfair. Like, think about what they did well into the third. They controlled this whole game. They were up at halftime, and my numbers may be off. What was it, 15 points 16. At half? What do you want him to do? 16 points at half? What do you want Coach Bud to do? You got Joe Harris, who missed 19 out of the last 23 threes. You got, thank the basketball gods for Uncle Jeff Green, who came in and he lit it up. Only missed one three. Was he 7 for 8? Right? But even KD didn't do anything in the first quarter. And then you got James Harden. James Harden was out there just being a decoy, and everybody knew it after the first possession. So then you get into the second half, and then this is what KD did, and this is why we're going to celebrate him in these conversations that Nick alluded to will start for the next couple years.
It's a great point. I think the world wanted to see Coach Bud do something. Let's talk some football. The Bears making a big mistake.
Something.
Not starting Justin Fields right away. Just something else. You're like, hey, my plan's not working. Let's try something else. More first things first.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Talking Bears quarterbacks. Matt Nagy shed some light on where things stand yesterday. Take a listen to this.
Is there a possible scenario where Justin Fields plays on opening night?
No. I mean, Andy is our starter. And again, I can't predict anything. You know, that's you know how it goes. I mean, there's so many things that could happen between today and that week one. But that's Andy is our starter and Justin's our number two. And we're gonna stick to this plan.
Okay, no possible scenario. Look, they got the Rams, so it makes kind of sense if you want him to avoid Aaron Donald. But Brandon, Matt Nagy saying there's no scenario Fields starts week one is what?
Worrisome. Like, this is a guy, for months I was pounding the pavement. Oh, the Jets gotta take him. How do you go the last 4 years and being in the conversation as one of the greatest quarterbacks in high school and college football behind Trevor Lawrence, and then all of a sudden you slide, and now you're not even considered to be the starter for week one? This is worrisome. Hopefully this kid isn't struggling, and hopefully this is Matt Nagy just trying to protect him. Because you got to think about it, Nick. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, their job is on the line. They don't have 6 weeks to figure it out. They got 3 or 4 That's weeks. Right. And if they don't start fast, they're probably going to be out of there.
That's right. And I like Matt Nagy. And so I hate to do this to him. But Matt Nagy saying this is Bill O'Brien-esque. And nobody wants to be compared to Bill O'Brien. But let me tell you all a quick story. In 2017, the Houston Texans traded up to draft Deshaun Watson. And all offseason, Bill O'Brien was like, we will not be starting Deshaun week one. Instead, we are starting Tom Savage. And he actually kept his word on that.
No,
Tom Savage was the Texans starter until halftime of week one. After one half of one game, Bill O'Brien was like, okay, what was I thinking? Maybe we should go to Deshaun. You don't want to ever go full Bill O'Brien, Matt Nagy. Learn from his mistakes. So don't do this. Do not do this, my friend. It's Bill O'Brien-esque Wilds.
Great call. That's a great call. Hey, we're headed back to Brooklyn. The hamstring hurt around the world. James Harden returned. Wasn't 100%, wasn't even close, had 5 points, but played 46 minutes. Here was the beard on his return.
Boink. Why was it so important to you, in your own words, to push through and to play tonight?
It's the playoffs, and my team needed me. Simple.
All of us felt like, first we... I wanted him to be healthy and make sure this is the right decision for him. But once he got out there and tested it out, we were all happy for him, and we knew that would give us an extra spark. So, it was one of those performances from James that, in the stat sheet, it may not look like it was great, but just his energy, his talk, his communication throughout the whole game was just on point. So I'm glad he was out there with us, and can't wait for game 6.
Brandon, James Harden's performance in the Nets Game 5 win was what?
I think it was a sigh of relief for those guys in that locker room. And I know, Nick, you might think a little differently than me, but you got to think about, man, there was so much pressure on everyone in that locker room, players, coaches, damn equipment staff. And for him to step up and say, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot, I just felt like it gave everyone a minute to pause and take a deep breath. Now, he only had 5 points, but he took pressure off of KD. He took pressure off of others. And I truly believe it was a big reason why they won the game, Nick.
Well, I do see it differently, and this is nothing against Harden. Like, Harden, I give him credit for trying to gut through it, but he had no business being out there. And it was coaching malpractice on both ends. On Bud's end, by not making him defend, and on Nash's end, by not only playing him 46 minutes, and by not recognizing that he was so limited out there that he was at the best case scenario was what happened, that he stays out of the action and doesn't damage his hamstring further. Before the year, Kyrie was like, hey, I'll be the coach sometimes. KD will be the coach sometimes. Harden will be. He didn't say Harden. He wasn't on the team yet. I think Steve Nash took that literally. Steve, you're the coach. You actually get to make these decisions, man. I thought it was wild. I thought it hurt the Nets massively early. You can't just let the... I thought it was bad. I thought it was really bad.
Nick bailed him out. Nick.
Yeah.
Nick, now you know there are some players that have power, and they also have that type of personality that they're going to do what they want to do. We saw it in Houston. He showed up to camp when he wanted to show up to camp. So for their season to be on the line, and when he goes to Nash and say, I am playing, there was nothing Steve Nash could do. He makes way more money than Steve Nash. He has way more power than Steve Nash. And then you got to lean on your players. So you got to understand who you're dealing with in those moments.
That's fair. That's totally fair, Brandon. But even when he said that, I don't think James Harden was like, I'm playing, Steve. and I'm playing 46 and a half minutes. I didn't even when Harden was like, I'm playing.
That's a lot.
He was expecting to be subbed out occasionally. Like, what is happening? I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
Oh, it's time for the weird and wonderful. Orioles in Cleveland yesterday, top of the second. Orioles first baseman Trey Mancini. It is a very bright light, and we talk a lot about the Cleveland weather patterns. We talk about the flies that they have on the field sometimes. We talk about the monsoons. Rarely do we talk about it. You know what? Also too sunny. So there's another one. Ooh. Usually people like the sun, but it turns out to be a bad thing when you go to Cleveland. And remember Chris Gittens? Last week we showed his first home run. Problem was it was a foul ball. And he still rounded the bases, and the umpire was like, hold on, this is a foul ball. What? It was a foul ball. Well, good news, everybody. Chris Gittens got up yesterday. Blammo! His real first home run. Congratulations, Chris. This one, unfortunately, however, was also foul. Who would have thought? Foul ball to center field. Just kidding. I'm just joshing with you. I'm just joking around.
That guy's running.
Look at that. That was the highlight. Look at the guy jumping over the rail. That was the highlight.
Yeah, he's running across the highway. What's happening there?
More KD. We're going to get to the kid jumping across the highway later.
More KD.
Hey, back to Brooklyn. What did KD historic night say about Giannis? Here's a hint. Nothing good. More first things first after the break. All NBA teams got released yesterday. Some big surprises on there. Nick, what caught your eye?
Well, Wilds, I'm a little offended you said some big surprises, since this was almost exactly player for player, team for team, what I told America they should be a few weeks ago. This was my first team, except they made Luka a guard. I think Luka's more of a forward, so I had CP3 on first team, but four of the five, perfect. Now show the second team. I had Luka on the second team and CP3 on the first team, but otherwise that's fine with one exception. I had Zion, more on him in a moment, in the Julius Randle spot, but all of that is obviously exactly right otherwise. And then third team. This is where it gets to me. The only thing they got wrong is they didn't put Zion on at all. Instead, they put Paul George on. I would have had Zion set. I had him second team with Randle third team. Gobert obvious. Jimmy Butler to me was obvious. And the guard spots, we talked about how impossible those were. Were you going to call Tatum a guard? Were you going to give Russ a spot? I landed on Kyrie and Beal. So my ballot and the actual what the league ended up voting on had 14 of the 15 the same, 12 of the 15 the exact same as far as first, second, third team. So I think the voters did a wonderful job. I assume they did it by watching this show and just being like, Nick's really smart. He doesn't have a ballot. Let me just copy his mostly. Yep. It's well done, guys. You feel free to do this on any of the awards. But the only guy who I really feel like got snubbed, Brandon, was Zion. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Obviously, you were spot on for the most part. Look, the league is positionless, right? We're look point center, point forward. Shouldn't that reflect that here?
The only problem with that is I think that's correct, except for it starts to historically kind of alter how you look at eras. Because the way you look at all NBA teams, it's like, hey, who were the six best forwards of that era? Who were the six best guards? And if you start making it to where it's just your 15 best guys, it changes things a bit. But I do think the league is trying to move towards that, Brandon, a bit by making guys eligible at different positions. The other noteworthy thing, Wilds, is thing that's probably bad for the for Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum, but good for their teams, is neither made an All-NBA team, so it cost them both about $30 million. Sucks for Mitchell and Tatum. Actually good for the Jazz and Celtics because it helps them cap-wise. So those were the other real noteworthy things that those two guys barely missed out. Kyrie actually took Tatum's spot. Kyrie just ruining the Celtics. Stomps on Lucky, gets Danny Ainge fired, takes Tatum's money. Kyrie just running roughshod over the organization.
Great year for the Nets.
Don't tell Glenn Davis. Check your DMs, Glenn Davis. You're talking about Lucky. He's going to be upset. Let's get back to Brooklyn. Kevin Durant, historic 49-point performance. The Bucks allowed 71 second-half points. Pretty big letdown for Giannis and Milwaukee after leading by 16 at half. They had a chance in the final 10 seconds. Giannis couldn't handle the pass. Kind of a brutal second half. Now they're headed back home, down 3-2 in the series. Here was Giannis after the game.
I want to take the challenge, and you know, obviously, everybody's going to have a chance to guard him, but I would love going to game six to be able to guard him, and if coach wants me to do that, you know, I'm ready for that.
That was Giannis talking about guarding KD. Brandon, what did last night's loss to the Nets say about Giannis and the Bucks?
Well, first off, I find it to be a little disrespectful because, you know, and it takes away from KD. KD had a phenomenal second half. KD ascended to Mount Rushmore potentially. So I find it a little disrespectful. I don't care who was on the other side. They weren't going to be able to stop KD last night. PJ Tucker, the last two games, did a phenomenal job on him. And he started off hot, making KD turn the ball over. So I find it a little disrespectful there. But here's the deal. Nick, didn't we have this discussion last year in the bubble? Didn't we have this discussion about Giannis going to coach saying, hey, let me play a little bit more. Remember, it was like 30, 32 minutes. You're done. No more. You're not playing over it. And we started to talk about the difference in players and the personalities. Like these American players, they'll go up to coach like James Harden just did yesterday and said, I am playing and I'm going to play 40-something minutes, Nash, whether you like it or not. Giannis, that's not how he's built. He respects authority. He respects his coaches. So if Bud is telling him this is the game plan, he's going to listen. We literally had this conversation last year in a bubble. So it doesn't tell me much. Giannis is going to do whatever Bud tells him to do.
So I agree with that to a degree. That also, at this point, Giannis's career is two-time MVP. He's a grown man. He's also the reigning defensive player of the year going into this season. He's got to take some ownership. I mean, I understand the cultural differences, international players, American players, but he's been here a long time at this point. But take all that aside. It had nothing to do with anything other than Giannis, in my opinion, his apprehension of shooting free throws the way he played at the very end of the game. He had James Harden on one leg, one-on-one on him, and he shot a fadeaway baseline jump shot late in the game, I think a minute and a half left, because he didn't want to go to the rim. And in that last possession, Barkley said it, and I think he's absolutely right. Giannis was rushing because he was afraid of getting fouled, and that is a massive problem. He has a dunk here, maybe an and one, but he rushes it, and he turns the ball over. And so, listen, everyone loves Giannis, but he is the two-time MVP of this league, and he, unlike Durant, had a good supporting cast around him last night, and he did not look like he belonged on the same page of the newspaper as Kevin Durant.
That's right.
But Giannis was not the biggest problem. And Wilds, I'm going to set you up, and then I'll come off the top rope at the end. The biggest problem was the head coach. And Kevin Wilds is not hot take guy. He's not super active Twitter guy. But Wilds' disgust with Bud was so palpable last night. He was ending tweets with Jadakiss lyrics. No, Wilds, I know it's not your brand. You want to be the nice guy. But what were you thinking when you were watching Bud coach last night, Wilds?
Okay, so I was a mix of emotions. And to Brandon's point, I was amazed by KD and at the same time, wildly frustrated with Bud allowing it to happen. It was like watching a horror film and watching the victims. It's like, hey, run out of the house. The monster is in the house. You have to just run out. The doors are open. Like, oh, is the monster behind this door? Knock, knock, knock. He is. That's the bad news. So it was wildly frustrating. My biggest problem, besides throwing guys at KD, you certainly throw a different look at KD. Just switch it up. It's obviously not working. Kirk Goldsberry had to be like, hey, when are you going to double KD? Do you want him to get 50? When's it going to happen? The idea that Harden was out there on one leg, and he's already a poor defender, and Bud couldn't have any offensive sets to draw him out and expose him. And we've said this about, hey, expose Steph. If you're playing the Warriors, try to expose Steph's deficiencies. Hey, if you're playing the Hawks, Nick, you said, try to expose Trae Young. He's not a great defender. Heck, it's the reason why Isaiah Thomas is not in the league, because coaches would set up plays and expose him. So can we show the Drew Holiday plays here, Pepper, if we can? Drew Holiday in the fourth quarter had Harden on him. He's like, oh, this guy can't guard me. I'm going to just cook him and just get to the open basket. By the way, there's no rim protector. The next play that Drew Holiday gets, he settles for a three-pointer. I don't know why this is happening. You just cooked the guy. So, Nick, this is one part on the team itself, but it's another part on Coach Bud for just not calling a timeout and throwing away the game plan and coming up a new one that seemed pretty obvious. Expose Harden and double-team KD.
Hold on. Let me address both of those real quick. Go ahead, Brandon. Go ahead, Brandon. Then I'll address them. Go ahead, Nick.
Because, well, no, it's just really quick. I said it before. I just think it's unfair. Like, there's, of course, in retrospect, there's more Bud could have done, but man, it was working through the first three quarters. They dominated the Nets. The Nets looked sloppy. There was only a couple bright spots out there on the court for the Nets, and that was Uncle Jeff Green, and then KD started to really take it to a whole nother level midway through the third. So what do you want him to do? We're really talking about one quarter. It was working, Nick.
No. But it was working until it wasn't, and it is the coach's job to recognize that and adjust. So let's first start on the Bucks offense, then we'll get to the KD stuff. It seemed like almost in the first half, they knew they could go at Harden, but Harden seemed so out of sorts. I thought the Bucks were maybe doing some like brilliant third level strategy of, we don't want to expose him so much on defense that they have to take him out because everything is working. I was like, because obviously they could just go at him every play. He can't move. So they have to know that, and they're not doing it for a reason. But then when their offense bogged down, when Giannis stopped cooking, they still didn't go to it. I'm sitting there watching the game. Harden can't move, and they didn't go to it. And then on the other side, Brandon, it's not disrespectful to what KD did at all to point this out. Dusty, our great statistician, tracked the possessions by hand last night. They double-teamed him zero times.
Come on, Dusty.
The entire game. Zero times. Zero doubles. The guy is shooting flames out of his eyeballs.
Send me those stats before you send them to anybody else.
Hold on. How about this, Brandon? Brandon, when they sent help, so not a double, but sent help on Kevin Durant, do you know how many jump shots he took? Zero. Now, he had seven assists when they sent help, but that you got to live with. If Jeff Green is, instead of going 7 of 8 from 3, going to go 13 of 14 from 3, you lose. Make someone else beat you. What?
You know what they were nervous about? If you go back, they watch film too, Nick. If you go back to the Celtics series, you had Joe Harris go out there and light them up. Hit what? One game he hit 8 threes, 25 points. Yeah, he's been missing. He missed 19 of his last 23. But any minute now, Joe Harris could get hot. That's what they were nervous about. So, Bud, I got your back.
Go ahead, Wilds.
I'll just ask Brandon quickly. If Joe Harris gets hot, I think Joe Harris scores points almost in a vacuum. When KD gets hot, the whole arena starts to erupt. There's a force multiplier when a superstar gets hot versus an isolation guy. But I want to speak to sort of like a fundamental philosophical difference between us, where you think that we're taking away some of Kevin Durant's accolades by criticizing Bud's defense. And I want to ask you personally, because you posted something on Instagram. You went back in the archives and you posted a screen cap of when you had 21 catches in a game. When you had like a phenomenal game playing out of your mind, was there a point when you're like, oof, this defensive coordinator can't
can't touch me. They need to do something else. Or are you thinking, man, I'm so good, I'm unstoppable? I don't know the answer. I'm actually just curious.
No, it's both. And, you know, to keep it real, what you guys are saying, there's a lot of validity behind what you're saying. So, yeah, they could have done more. But when you watch the game, through the first three quarters, the Bucks were the better team. The Nets look sloppy, right? So as a coach, if you're sitting there, what you're doing is working. And then all of a sudden like this, it just, KD just turns it on. I mean, he's hitting fadeaway threes with a hand in his face. Like, what do you do? PJ Tucker, the last two games, what was it, games three and four? PJ Tucker just takes it to a whole nother level defensively. So, you know, that's why I'm standing up for Bud. But of course he could have done more. Of course they should have trapped him more or sent, you know, different looks at him. There's a lot of validity behind it. But if you watch that game and if it's entirety, man, it was a great game for the Bucks through three quarters.
There were certain possessions where you could have done nothing. The back-breaking three KD hit with 50 seconds left. They played great defense. It was an impossible shot. An all-time great player made an all-time great shot. But there were other possessions that were just walk-up jump shots. And I understand the idea of, well, Joe Harris, if you watch the Celtics series, he can scare you. You know what you have to watch to know Kevin Durant can scare you? The last 15 years of basketball, dating back to Texas, when he was scoring 40 a night for Rick Barnes. That's how you know KD can rip your heart out, because he's Kevin Durant. Turn him on the Rucker. Guess what? He ripped their heart out, too. Wiles, you said before the game, there's going to be KD for 48 minutes, what he did at the Rucker. They didn't double him at the Rucker either.
He did it.
Dude scored 66 points. And he doubled. Jesus, man.
Let's go, Devin Booker summer league approach.
We're not doubling.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers sending messages via T-shirt. Should we read into this at all?
T-shirt.
I guess so. More First Things First after the break.
Just go back to camp.
Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP of the NFL. Aaron, some Hawaiian resort set up there. It looks like you're having a great time. You've really kept a low profile this offseason. I've hardly seen your name at all. You haven't hosted any TV shows or been in and involved in any kind of controversy or anything. It's been a nice, peaceful offseason for you, it sounds like, AR.
Thank you, BA. It's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about, where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this off season has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player at the same time. It's been great.
Brandon, what did you make of Rodgers sporting a shirt that says, quote, "I'm offended"? Also had an emoji on it.
Right. Well, let's give a little bit of background, right? A couple weeks ago, Mark Murphy, the CEO of the Green Bay Packers, did a press conference and said that, you know, this situation is dividing the fan base. He also said that Aaron Rodgers is a complicated fella. Well, you probably made the situation worse, because now you got Aaron Rodgers digging a little bit deeper and saying, you know what, enough's enough. So, like, we all been in these situations on Zoom calls. We're trying to get our angles right. Do you not think that he told them, yo, make sure you get this "I'm offended" shirt right here, this little caption right here? Absolutely. You know there's millions of people going to tune in and watch this little soundbite, and you don't have to say anything because your shirt say everything. Mark Murphy, what are you doing, bro?
I'll give you a take.
Right.
Until he wears Anthony Davis's "That's All, Folks" shirt, he's headed back to Packers camp. Hey, we're moving on to Brooklyn. Steven Jackson joining us now. Illustrious host of All the Smoke. Talking last night's game five, Kevin Durant, performance for the ages, 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, triple-double, total masterpiece. Stack, what was your reaction to Kevin Durant's historic game last night?
Big players step up in big games. Big players step up in big games. You wonder why all the basketball players always speak highly of KD. Because he's a unicorn. Him and Giannis is both 7-foot guys. But Giannis cannot do what KD does. And that's just what it is. He's different. You never seen nothing like it. And he showed up last night. Big player step up in big games. You know, the team as a whole has been struggling. And let me tell y'all something, too, that y'all might not know. Guys can make threes in the regular season. But when it comes to the playoffs, some of your best shooters in the world that y'all love cannot make shots in the playoffs. But big player step up in big games. And that's what KD did. I'm not surprised at what he did. Shout out to Jeff Green for stepping up when the other guys that's been struggling all year, all postseason. But KD is who he say he is. Y'all, like he said, y'all know who I am, and he showed the world last night.
All right, let's just some housekeeping stuff real quick. Why you only have 135 pounds on the bench behind you? I'm a little distracted. Is that your garage? Is that your closet? What's going on? What's going on?
Let me tell you. This is actually my closet, but I have a torn labrum, so I haven't touched this thing in I don't know how long.
But why would you have a bench in your closet? But anyways, look.
He's not a football player. Okay. Let's stay focused.
Well, here's the deal. Look, listen, Stack, you said it. Right. Big players step up in big games, and we talked about that. We all believe that KD could potentially get you one game, right? But the odds are stacked against him. The Bucks are a better team given this situation with James Harden. We didn't expect him to play. Kyrie Irving twists his ankle. And yeah, we expected him to go out there and have a big game. A lot of us said that for them to win, he has to drop 45, 50 points, and he absolutely did that. These are the type of games when everybody know that you are the only way that this team can win, that you're going to take every damn shot and you go out there and you still produce, this takes you from superstar status to Mount Rushmore superstar status. KD is going to look back on this moment, and we're all going to look back on this moment, Nick, a couple years from now, and possibly say, depending on how this thing ends, if they can make it through this series, because it ain't over yet, and they can potentially win it all, we can look back and say, oh, that was the moment. Like, this was a big-time game. Like, he had no chance. I wonder what Vegas had. You probably know that the probability of them winning this game the way it was.
They weren't that huge. So going into the game, they're only three-point dogs. But at halftime, it was a 10-1 shot. At halftime, it was a 10-1 shot. Probably if Vegas hadn't computed in the Mike Budenholzer factor, would have made it about a coin flip. But we'll discuss that later.
Oh, my goodness. You and Mike.
On Kevin Durant. On Kevin Durant, Stack, it's the best game of his career. And the only thing that even comes close was game three of his second title with the Warriors. He had 43 points. He had another dagger three to ice the series, essentially, the way he did in the first finals against the Cavs. He had a couple marvelous games his last year with the Warriors against the Clippers in round one, but it was an overmatched team. He played basically a perfect basketball game. And when Brandon talks about Mount Rushmore, the Mount Rushmore of wings in the league up to this point is LeBron, Jordan, Kobe, and Bird. Kevin Durant is doing his damnedest to elbow Bird off that, and he's coming for Kobe next. Like, that is a real possibility what we could see over the next decade. I don't know. I don't know why you're shaking your head, Stack. It's not a shot at any. My point is, when you're talking about Brandon said the Mount Rushmore, he is moving himself up the list, but with a performance like this. But what I want to get your take on is this, Stack. Because
yes.
I think this is what basketball fans, in a weird way, this is why basketball fans were mad at KD previously for being on these awesome teams, because you want to see the overmatched superhero. Like, you want to see the guy who is outgunned say, you know what, I can do this, even though the second, third, and fourth best players on the court are on the other team. And he hadn't been in a position where he was asked to do this for so long that now I feel like for him to be able to immediately tap into it, when it's not like he was asked to do this all year, hadn't been asked to do this for years, I think shows what it's always been there. He just hasn't had to go to it, which to me makes it even more special, if that makes sense.
I got to disagree with you. It's a LeBron's been on super teams too. So, I mean, I don't think that has nothing to do with it, man. It's about winning and losing and putting yourself in position to win. You don't want to be one of those players that was good that didn't win a championship. You know what I mean? And that's probably his whole thinking. It has nothing to do with him going to Golden State. It has nothing to do with him being in Brooklyn, just like it had nothing to do with the three big players LeBron had in Miami. They're both still great regardless of where they play at.
Maybe I'm communicating it poorly. Don't you think when people, you mention LeBron, talk about LeBron, one of the series people hold in the highest regard is the first finals against Golden State? He lost that series. But it was like, okay, it's one guy against this great team. Let's see what he can do. And the fact that they even took it six games, like, added to LeBron's legend. If Giannis hadn't fumbled that ball at the end, say he picked it up, dunked it, and they went in overtime, that would have taken nothing away to me from what Durant did. It was a brilliant performance by one of the greatest players the league's ever seen when their only path to victory was him doing this. If he'd have scored 40, they lose by double digits. Like, that's the point I'm making, is that sometimes when a guy, there's Jeff Green's his second best teammate last night, as the way it played out. That makes it more special because he had no one else he could rely on. The whole stadium knew KD was going to have to shoot almost every time in the fourth quarter, and he did it, and they couldn't stop it.
Well, I mean, he lose that game last night. I don't even want to talk about the 50-point game because it's about winning. He lose that game. We're not having the same conversation. Disagree. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all because they lost the game and they're going back to Milwaukee facing a season-ending game. What it comes down to is people not talking about this. Middleton is the most talented player on their team. Let's just keep it real. He can do the most. Giannis is shooting 41% from the line. Ooh. Giannis is shooting 41% from the line. His game is limited, right? His game is super limited. He's a great athlete. He's better than me. He's better than all of us. But Middleton is the most talented person on their team. You can't really take anything away from him because he can do it all. Giannis, all you got to do is send him to the free throw line and put him in a comfortable position, because if you're shooting 41% and you're the best player on your team, it's going to be hard to win on the road. And this tells a lot of things about all the teams in the playoffs. A lot of teams can win at home, but how many teams can win on the road? And that's what's going to separate all these teams in the playoffs, which teams can win on the road.
All right, so I want to dig into the Giannis part a little bit, Stack. Because right now, on social media and all shows today, we're basically going to have like an adjectives, accolades contest on how to describe Durant's performance. Whether it's art, whether it's beautiful, whether it's Mount Rushmore, we'll just keep on trying to find ways to put his performance in perspective. One thing you're not going to hear is, wow, KD was unstoppable no matter what Coach Bud threw at him. He was unstoppable on the double teams. He was unstoppable on the old Steph Curry triple team. You're not going to hear that because it didn't happen. As a guy who's been a part of a championship squad, when you see and played against some great players, when you see a guy who is catching fire and you're on the other side, of the ball, what do you do? Like, Giannis is getting criticized a little bit, and I know he's mostly a rim protector, for not going to Coach Bud and being like, hey, let me get a shot at him. And maybe it wouldn't have worked, but at least gives him a different look. So the question is, if you were on the floor, what would you have done when KD's going off like that?
I've guarded KD, and there's nothing I could have done with him. You know, I made it difficult for him sometimes, but he killed me too. So, I mean, that's something you're going to have to deal with. I think Bud needs to call one of the greatest coaches of all time, who I got a chance to play with, Greg Popovich, because Popovich was the best at making adjustments and exploiting mismatches. And that's what Bud didn't do last night. A lot of times when they switch and they get these smalls on low passes, Giannis, you got to go to the post. You got to get them the ball. They did not take advantage of the mismatches they had, and they had them all over the court. But one thing we're not talking about, too, also with James, we knew James was going to be about 10%. But the fact that he was out there did a lot for that team.
We'll get into that. We'll get more into, we'll stay in Brooklyn. What did KD's historic night say about Giannis? We'll discuss next. First things first. A Hey, we're back talking breaking news on Chris Paul. He has entered the NBA's health and safety protocols and will be sidelined for an indefinite period of time. Suns are awaiting the winner of the Jazz Clippers series, but this puts CP3's status in question for the start of the Western Conference Finals. Nick, what was your reaction to this news?
Well, it obviously just broke, and if Chris Paul has to miss significant time, obviously it doesn't end the Suns' chances, but it hurts them drastically. And for a guy who is the closest he's ever been to an NBA Finals, with the exception of 2018 when, as his team went up 3-2 on the Warriors, he pulled his hamstring, never to play again that season as they lost the next two. If he misses out on his chance at the Finals because he, and I don't know why he has to enter health and safety protocols, I know he climbed up into the crowd, he hugged his family, I don't know what the circumstances are. It would be one of the most cruel twists of what has been an impossibly difficult season for everybody. Now, in reading Shams' reporting, it does say there is concern, Brandon, he could miss the start of the series. And it says if he's been vaccinated, then his time away is much shorter than otherwise. So a lot of this is unknown. Right. We also don't even know when the Western Conference Finals are going to start because we don't know if Jazz Clippers is going to go 6 or if it's going to go 7. So hopefully he misses no time. But if he does miss time, Brandon, all of a sudden the Suns go from, to me, the favorites in the series to decided underdogs against either of those opponents.
I agree. I mean, this is absolutely brutal. As soon as that broke, last block at the bottom, we had no clue that that was going to pop up on our show. We all just said, oh, man, right? Because this is a guy that's dealt with so much adversity in the playoffs. You talked about his hamstring, Nick, but remember, go back a little bit more, his wrist. And there was other moments where he started cramping up in games when his team was playing phenomenal. He was playing phenomenal. This is a dude this year that we were all rooting for. Look what he did last year in OKC. Look what he did this year in a short time, going over to the Suns and re-energizing, revitalizing this organization. They haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years. So this is devastating for him, his family, his team, because if you're a player, like his family, for instance, they're carrying this weight too. They know how bad he wants it. On the court, you got to go back to the first series. Like, what are we going to see? What are we going to get? Against the Lakers, the second game, 9 minutes, 19 seconds on the clock in the second quarter, he goes down with the shoulder and everything totally flipped. Now, they were up 2-0, but then they found themselves in a backyard fight, in a fight in the alley. That's what they found themselves in, and he was able to fight through it, but he was never the same until, the sixth game, and he looked decent.
Really game 6.
Right? So you may see that. Yeah, I mean, they have a chance. You know, you got guys on that team, Ayton Bridges, Booker, that can step up and go for 20, 25 points. Defensively, they play together. They play phenomenal. They're the most balanced, most complete team, but it definitely hurts their chances, Nick.
1,000% and Wilds, go ahead. Wilds, what I was just going to say is he's coming off the best series he's ever played. He's coming off a series where he's 25-5-10 on 62-75-100 splits with more steals than turnovers. He was about to get some rest. Now, I guess he'll still get rest, but he's coming off the best he's ever played in his career.
So I want to say two things, and they're a little bit awkward to juxtapose, but I'll try. First and foremost, on behalf of everybody, we hope that Chris Paul and his family are okay health-wise, right? Obviously, if you're vaccinated, this disease or virus is far less consequential, but if you're not, it still can be terrible. So first and foremost, we will hope Chris Paul is okay. Now here's the awkward turn. I'll talk about basketball. This is an opportunity, if Chris Paul does miss games, Nick, for Devin Booker's star to shine even brighter. And we just saw KD do it last night, and everyone's been talking about Devin Booker's kind of been this little hidden gem, didn't get a lot of national games, and now he is emerging. What do you think Devin Booker's ceiling is without Chris Paul playing if he does miss early games?
Well, the thing is this. I think, you know, it's interesting juxtaposing it with Harden last night. Like, we were just talking about Harden on offense, just him being out there on the offensive side of the ball, even though he couldn't hit a shot, was helpful for the Nets functioning. Chris Paul, you saw when Brandon in the Lakers series, when for a couple of those games he couldn't lift his arm above his, you know, his arm above his shoulder, he still was useful in getting them in the right spots, settling them down, getting them good possessions. I think Booker really relies on that. I think that if this news was Chris Paul re-aggravated his shoulder injury and you were worried about how effective he was going to be, that's so different than if he can't physically be out there. And I just quickly echo Wild's point. Of course, we wish the best for Chris and his family. And also, we don't know if this is a positive test, if it's just exposure. We don't know, have any of the details. The fact that Shams is reporting that their concern is that he could miss the beginning of the series leads me to believe that they are not concerned this is, you know, going to be a multi-week ordeal. But the margins are so thin, Brandon. It, you know, they have home court if they play the Clippers. And if you lose game one at home because Chris Paul isn't out there, that's enough to sometimes flip a series.
And you don't know what you're going to get from the Clippers. The way Paul George is playing, you may not be able to drop, you know, down 0-1, 0-2 and have a chance to come back. So this is devastating, like we've already said. Here's the deal. It's almost like what we're seeing in Brooklyn right now with James Harden. James Harden going out there and playing the minutes he played. He didn't impact the stat sheet in a major way. He only had 5 points, but his presence, the sigh of relief he gave everyone in that locker room was huge. I truly believe it's one of the reasons why they won that game. It took pressure off of KD. Like, KD was, he didn't have to bring the ball up the court every single time. You didn't know if he was going to hit a three, if those shots was going to start falling. You had no clue, so it gave everyone a chance to pause and take a deep breath. You go back to the first series against the Lakers. The shoulder goes out. He still showed up. He still was sitting on that on the sideline. He still was there for tip-off, and that helped the team. Exactly what you're saying, helping Booker. So now we're talking about him potentially missing a game or two. We don't know what type of team we're going to get because that is their general. That's like Peyton Manning not being there. That's like Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes being there at the kickoff.
That's right. Sunday, June 20th, earliest possible start for the West Finals. Head back to Brooklyn. Is the Bucks-Nets series as good as over after KD's historic night? Here was Durant in the tunnel after his monster game.
We got another game to go. We got one more to advance.
And now, breaking news, Kawhi Leonard is expected to miss tonight's Game 5. His status is in question for the rest of the series due to a knee injury. Nick, lots of big stories. Which one is the biggest here, and how are they connected?
Well, listen, I think historically speaking, the biggest is Durant. I think this is a Pantheon player with the finest moment of his career. The finest game of his career. I know it was the second round. I understand it wasn't even an elimination game, but he played all 48 minutes. Everyone knew everything had to go right through him, and he led a second half 17-point comeback against a team with the two-time defending MVP.
Unbelievable.
So historically, it's Durant. But for the here and now, Brandon, it's that Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard could be the 8th and 9th all-stars to miss games these playoffs. The record was already set these playoffs. We'd already had 7, and now we could be, we're a guy away potentially from being at double-digit all-stars missing playoff games. There's only 25 all-stars. Like, it's not like you got 100 guys to choose from. And so there was some concern about Kawhi at the end of that game when he wasn't in, when the Jazz were getting it close. Obviously, the Chris Paul thing, it comes out of total left field. Nobody saw it coming. But the story of these playoffs is who can stay healthy COVID-wise and who can stay healthy physically. And right now, the answer is not many teams. It's really, really unfortunate.
Right. And it's hard to pick just one. I mean, you start with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant and all these guys, right? When you think about how much there is for them to gain. Kevin Durant, we're talking about legacy here. Yeah, it's not an elimination game. It's not a game in the finals. But at the end of the day, like you said, we all knew it had to go through him. And for him to step up and perform the way he did said so much. And now we're talking about the Mount Rushmore of wings. Can he possibly knock off Bird if he continues this and how this thing end this year? And then you go to the devastating news. You got Chris Paul, CP3, in COVID-19 protocol. I don't even know what that is and what that looks like for the NBA. But, man, this is a guy that faced so much adversity in the playoffs. A ankle here, a wrist there, a hamstring. It's like, man, when can he get a break in the postseason? And now you got Kawhi Leonard. For some reason, we like to talk bad about Kawhi Leonard. This is a dude that just play at a high level year in and year out for most of his career. And so much on the line when you think about them falling 0-2 to the Mavs and then coming back. And then now doing it again against Utah and pretty much having control. That's just a brutal news for the Clippers, because this is a team that had a 7% chance to come back down 0-2. So all three are big news, and then you can't just pick one.
Yep. Brandon, I thought you did a good job last segment by sort of combining the Durant story and the Paul George story. And we hope Chris as well, right, and we hope Kawhi as well. But if there's any silver lining here, Nick, it's that Kevin Durant just laid out the blueprint for how a guy can step up and have an out-of-body experience on the basketball floor. And we saw Devin Booker, stars continue to rise, and maybe it can go even higher. And we've seen Paul George kind of break out of his funk and try to go even higher at 31 the other night. So it's very interesting with guys with nothing to lose that you can look at Paul George and be like, you know what? Can you win a game in Utah? Or Devin Booker, can you have an out-of-body experience?
But here's what they got to see, Nick. They got to just see this. Turn the film, and they'll see that first quarter by Durant. Durant wasn't hot. He wasn't hitting. But he kept his foot on the pedal, and he stayed aggressive. That's what they got to do.
They'll also, to be fair, they'll see one of the 15 greatest players in the history of the game. And he's the only guy like that right now still in the playoffs. I think that it's a tall task to ask Durant, much less anybody else.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.